Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, or Apple Podcast. Or head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcast. We ask you to please share those on social media if you like what you see. We are looking forward to the show tonight. Colonel Julie Hall will be joining us once again to talk about her run for Congress and dive even more into how things are unfolding in Afghanistan. We still have so many unanswered questions about Afghanistan, but mainstream media, Joe Biden, and Democrats want to move on. All of a sudden, they don't want to talk about Afghanistan. All we are seeing on the media is a lot of about Texas abortion law, anything to move on from Afghanistan. It'll be very interesting. Rob, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Andrew. And I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. And I'm also excited to have Colonel Julie Hall back on. As you guys all know, she was with us not too long ago, and she spoke about the fall of Afghanistan, and she gave us her honest opinion. As Andrew said, the article was titled, "There Are No Oops in the Military. There Are No Oops Moments." And although we saw what happened, the disastrous pullout by Joe Biden, embarrassing America on the world stage, that's leaving behind Americans after 13 Marines were killed, murdered. Blood is on the hands of resident Joe Biden. And one of the things that the colonel mentioned and that had her so angry at the time was, what about the women? What about the women that we were leaving there, the Afghanistanian women that had tasted freedom because we encouraged them to step out? Here is your freedom. 20 years, these women had freedom. Some of the little babies were girls when we invaded Afghanistan, 20 years old now, and now they'll have to go back inside. And as she said, some of them are saying, I'm not going to do it. I am going to stand up. Where are the women in America? Where are they? Why are they hiding? Why aren't they speaking up and telling Joe, we demand you do something about this? And not only that, she also said, if we left and left those people behind, going back in to get them, it's not going to be pretty. What do we see now? Folks, this is not a good situation. This is America. What Joe Biden did, in my opinion, is impeachable. He should be removed. I even wonder if he knows what he did and the generals that gave him that the advice. I mean, and that's the other thing. Did they know what they were saying? Or did they say, well, hey, if he wants to get out, let's just get out. We know that it's going to fall. Because what I'm hearing is that a lot of these generals, this is big money for them. Nation building. They don't care about the soldiers. Now, I'm talking about the guys at the very top level, like the Mileys and Lloyd Austins. They could care less because as soon as they retire, what do? They go run and get on the board of a defense contractor and make a lot of money. This is shameful. And why Congress hasn't convened to get to the bottom of this, to ask the questions as to what did you know and what didn't you share with Joe? And what did Joe know and forgot? And why the heck was Joe on the phone telling the president of Afghanistan to make it seem as if though everything was peaches and cream? Why was Joe saying this? Quid pro quo, Joe? Folks, everything that they were saying that Trump was doing, they're doing it. And now the media, oh yeah, they came out the first day and they chastised Joe. And Andrew, I told you this was going to happen. Within a couple of days, they flipped the script. They started saying, oh, well, you know, come on. We all wanted to, we had to get out of there. Trump wanted to get out of there. What do you expect? It wasn't going to be pretty. Are you serious? This is what they're saying, Andrew. They're literally coming out telling the American people, feeding them this crazy propaganda that it wasn't going to be pretty anyway. What do you expect? It was war. What do you expect? We're Americans. We have the greatest military. We expected to go in, clean house, and come out. As the colonel told us in our last episode, war isn't pretty, but we are a fighting machine. We know what our mission is, to go in and to come out. But this whole nation building and trying to set up friends and trying to get them to accept our democracy, our freedom. And I think the colonel's opponent is siding with Joe Biden.
Yes, he is.
The young kid that he is, siding with Joe Biden. So we want the colonel to come on and we want her to talk about this young man who, in my opinion, I've read up about him. He's where he is probably because of money. His dad, I think, works for who? Dr. Fauci. His mom gives money to Democrats. This has got to stop. We have got to get people in office who are committed to the cause, people who are willing to fight for the American people, people who are willing to put America first. There's nothing wrong with putting America first. Every other country does it, but we're just saying it. But when we say it, it's wrong. I don't think so. So, Colonel, we're glad that you're back. And we want you to speak out on this young man who is only getting there, buying his way. That's what I'll say. He's trying to buy his way into Congress. People, you need to wake up. Colonel Hall, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. And thanks again for having me and giving me this opportunity. This is one of those I told you so's that I don't want to be right about, but I knew it was going to be hostage situation.
Yep. You said it.
Yep. I mean, when you say we're going to negotiate with the Taliban, you're talking about negotiating, and I said this again, with people that hate you, okay? That they're Allah, it would be a sin to Allah if they negotiate with us, because that's not what they're supposed to do. And sure enough, you know, here we go. Now, I thought that it might be Al-Qaeda, but it doesn't really matter, you know? I mean, they want something. They've got, you know, Americans over there. I am hearing on a regular basis from veterans that are actually connecting with people that are still in Afghanistan. One in particular that said to me, Colonel, help me. My friend is over there. How do I get them home? And I actually referred them to, you know, the Pineapple Express, which I don't know if you have heard about them. There's been a bunch of folks, Congress people, that have been going in, that are military, and they're going in and helping. So it's very, very interesting. Yeah, people that are actually running for Congress that are veterans and helping. So, you know, you did mention about my opponent. And I think, you know, I've seen he was all over the news, CNN, everything, MSNBC. And I'm thinking, this guy has been in for less than 5 years. He's in the individual, you know, readiness reserve, which means you're sort of sitting aside. That's what we used to do with our doctors and nurses. And he's had, you know, two deployments, one to Panama, one to Afghanistan. I can't even tell you how long those deployments were because I've been trying to find this out. But nevertheless, he's maybe had 4 good years in the military, if that. And he holds himself as out as the expert in Afghanistan, speaking on behalf of it, not only speaking on behalf of what's going on, but then praising Joe Biden. And I'm going to tell you, he did that, and it set off a firestorm here in Massachusetts with the veterans. They were not happy with this young man, and they're still not happy. But unfortunately, this is what happens when you come from a place of affluence, and I said ignorance, because, you know, what does he ever have to lose? What are the repercussions? You know, he's got a lot of money. If you read through some of the articles when he was running, one of the biggest things people said is that, you know, all this access to money that he had. I have a whole spreadsheet, you know, from his FEC report, which is just incredible. I mean,
so he's buying the office, and then his parents are well-connected. And something that you said that really stands out is that he's always on CNN, MSNBC, fake news network, and PMS network, as if though he's a subject matter expert. Now, I don't want to diminish his time. I take my hat off, but yet and still, 5 years compared to your 2 decades or more of serving, knowing what happened, and he does not know. He's just saying what he feels that, well, this will make me look good if I side with Joe Biden. Now, I'm waiting for the moment that he decides to distance himself from Sleepy Joe. We have got to wake up and put people in office who knows what they're doing, who know the risk. They know what's at stake. Colonel, you have been there. You have seen it. You came on our show and you said, look, this is what's going to happen. I hate to say it. And sure enough, the fall, people were killed. 13 Marines were killed. And now we have hostages. You know, you have seen this. You have been in it. We don't need some kid who still has milk around his mouth, who's using his parents' influence and money to get him there. So I would say to the voters, wake up. Don't be deceived. We need experience. We already have an empty suit that's there. We can't make the same mistake again, Colonel.
Well, I agree. And I think that's the thing. You know, what I see being created here is a career politician. You know, this is a almost a definition of a career politician. And, you know, one of the things I talk about is getting money out of the system. It's never going to be people like myself, the middle class people. And I made a big argument with our redistricting joint committee. I sent in a testimony to them, which basically stated just that, that what I did is ranked all the cities and towns in the 34 districts, in the 34 of them, by median family income. And sure enough, there was a huge delta when it got to Newton and Wellesley. Now, interestingly enough, the last three congressional representatives came from Newton, Newton, and Newton. Now, tell me that's not gerrymandering.
Oh my gosh.
Absolutely finest, okay?
Absolutely.
And I put this in the report. And I said, is that a coincidence, question mark? And I made sure that I contacted both the chairperson from the House and the chairperson from the Senate in the state of Massachusetts to make sure they read the report and understood my concerns about this being done fairly and equitably. So I already laid that gauntlet on the table. So we'll see. I mean, the whole idea, I think, if we'll have a better representation if we get rid of the gerrymandering. It's a gerrymandering that's causing the problem because this is where the most affluent people and the biggest concentration of Democrats are. So that's what causes this. Now, why is that an issue? It's an issue because this individual in particular, and most of the individuals from Newton that are affluent because that's how they get the seats. They got a lot of money. They go out and do a lot of marketing. But what that means is the middle-class people that are in the majority of the district are never going to be represented. So my contention was, if there's a majority for race, if there's a majority for we want a certain group or culture together, which is what they're looking at with redistricting now, why can't there be a majority of median family income? Because median family income and socioeconomic status is a lot closer of value sharing than, you know, you can say that there's a particular race, but that race may, there may be people of all different socioeconomic status in a different race. And whereas if you have a socioeconomic status that is a middle-class status, those values will go along with that status. And isn't it why we run for office is to represent those values for those people?
Absolutely, to represent the people.
So, you know, to me, it's plain and simple. So I did put that out there and I'm hoping that they will consider it. This is a deep blue state. So the best I can do is just document it. The other thing is there is a lot of litigation going on right now with the redistricting just for that reason. But, you know, one of the things I just want to get back to is this individual in particular from the beginning, and I called him out. It's very hard because we didn't have any debates until the end of the election. And, you know, I thought to myself, that's too late. But then, you know, they instituted on us that, you know, the mail-in voting, and that pushes everything back for our campaigning. You know, now you have to get ready for early voting and everything else. And they just changed the rules as we did. So that was a difficulty. But one of the things I did point out was this individual started off as a Republican. So once again, in the last maybe 6 years, he's gone from Republican to independent to Democrat. He's a flip-flopper.
And he's confused. Yep. He's another Joe Biden. That is the reason why he's standing behind Joe Biden and praising Joe Biden. Folks, yeah. you can't vote for this guy.
Well, you know, they see this young kid. They say, oh, my God, he's young. He's a Marine. He's went to MIT and he's got a degree. I've got two. He's got 5 years. I've got 30. When the comparisons comes down, if you were to look at two people and you were going to hire two people for a job, it's clear that I have more experience. It's clear that I'm the better candidate. And it's clear that I represent the majority of the people in the district. So, you know, we got to do a little bit better. And I think that it is going to be difficult because unfortunately, with money, you buy marketing and everything else. You buy friends. You can even buy your party, I think, and your seats. So, you know, but that's okay, because I think the message that we have is the right message. you know, being able to have people that represent us for a change. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but there is a study that says the middle class is underrepresented in Congress. Race and gender are well beyond the middle class. In other words, race has done great and gender has done great, but somebody representing the middle class people, there isn't any. So we really, really need to work on that. Those are the kinds of people that we need in. And I just feel that, you know, we're the largest group, I would say. We're becoming smaller now because, you know, with all everything going on in the inflation, that's what happens when you move towards socialism is, you know, you get a larger sort of lower class and a, you know, and a very small higher class. So that's socialism. If people can't see that either, that's going to be an issue. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, so he told the veterans up in Newton when he first got out that, hey, listen, I'm going to have to be an independent in order to win here in Newton because it's very progressive. So he did, and the veterans stood behind him, the American Legion, and they'll tell you, I'm telling the truth, because they told me. And then after he got elected, he joined the Democrat Party. They were very angry at him.
Yeah, that's why.
Okay. I mean, so this is the ethical or unethical, I guess I'm going to say, the integrity of this individual. Then the next thing is, you know, I get this email that shows up and I'm in the American Legion and it happens to be from one of his volunteers. And basically it's to the thing that, hey, listen, you know, Congress, Jake Auchincloss is the only one running in the 4th Congressional District, the only veteran running in the 4th Congressional District. Could you imagine how I felt when I got that email? When I got that email, I had to quickly go back and correct and say, hey, come on, you know, and to think that he didn't know that, yet he's going to go around and have his volunteers send an email that says that he is the only veteran that's running in the district.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, and he always, I'm sorry. I don't know if you kind of read, you know, he got an endorsement from the Globe, but the Globe had to take it back because of some things that he said and some things that he did. And, you know, it would be nice if I could, you know, make a mistake and just say, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Can you imagine if you know,
but Julie, I mean, you know, that can't happen because you're more seasoned, you're more qualified, and they want to silence you. They don't want you out there. So they would rather put up this kid. And I hate to say it that way, but they want to put him up in order for them to be able to maneuver him, manipulate him to do their bidding. Like you said, you're representing the middle class. We need the middle class values. We need what they stand for there on the Hill, not someone who's living off of mama and daddy, not someone who's connected, not someone who's going to be the yes man for Joe Biden all the time. I mean, Andrew, we've had many candidates to come on our show and they have spoken out against the elitist that's on the Hill. And I think that we need someone like Julie there to represent the people. What do you say?
Yeah, I could not agree with you anymore, Rob. What we're seeing with these progressive far left candidates take over all across the country. You've got this Cori Bush ever since she got in. She's just been a disaster. And it sounds like this opponent of Colonel Hall's is just another one who's just another puppet for the Democrats. No individual thinking and is just changes his mind with whatever way the wind blows. It just seems so typical with what we see in today's Democrat Party.
Yeah. And you know, I think you're absolutely right. And if you've ever seen this person on TV, you can tell he is just won't even crack a smile. He's afraid to move. He's very robotic, afraid to move, and absolutely reading right off the whatever teleprompter he's using at his home or whatever.
Well, that's typical of Democrats to read from teleprompters. Look at Joe. Joe has a teleprompter. Right. He has his cue cards. And even with that, he messes up. So I can only imagine what this opponent of yours is reading from. They probably have already given him his script so that doesn't veer off.
And he doesn't.
You see?
Nope,
and
he doesn't.
We don't need people
when
like that.
He debated, he didn't. Yeah, even when we were in debate, he didn't. It was like, I was calling him a flip-flopper and I actually looked him right in the face and said, you know, integrity makes a difference. He didn't even flinch at me. Like, I'm questioning your integrity. And you know,
because he knows not to wander off. If they go too far off, they know that, hey, I'll make a mistake. Now, Colonel, when is the election?
So the election is next November.
Next November, not this coming 2020. 22.
Correct. So okay, here's what's kind of confusing. So let's straighten this out real quick. There's a lot of local elections that are going on this year. So there's a lot of candidates, and, you know, I'm going to, you know, reach out to people. I don't care if they're independents. I don't care if they're, I reach out to independents that are conservative. And I actually have three veterans right now, or two veterans that I reached out to help get them on my city council. Because, you know, I think it's really important that we have, you know, conservatives. When people are on your, you know, local level, you know, they are supposed to be bipartisan or nonpartisan. So I still, you know, hope that, you know, we get some conservatives on there. And I am very eager to get veterans in any kind of a position of legislation, because I think you just get a, well, not all of us, obviously, you know, this guy's a Marine and not all, I mean, seriously, not all of us, but you have to be very, very careful. But I think for the most part, veterans do a great job, and you're going to see a lot of veterans running for office this year. So yeah,
you know, we need that to happen.
Yeah, we've definitely seen that. Colonel Hall's been in the military almost as long as her political opponent has been alive. And yet here we have him going on MSNBC, CNN, getting all this airtime. Rob, don't you think that networks like Fox News, One America News need to reach out to people like Colonel Hall and get their expertise when the left-wing Absolutely. Media is getting on all of these Democrats all day, every day?
Andrew, I couldn't agree with you anymore. They need to reach out to individuals who are experienced like Colonel Hall, people who have been in the trenches, who understand and who knows what's happening. Not this young man who could probably tell you about the latest book trends or what he studied in school, but we need experience. I'm serious.
It. Oh my God. It sounds like a book report.
Right. We need someone.
Like it's a book report, you know?
Right. We need someone with experience who can go the distance, who can go the miles and say, hey, I've been there. I know what it's like. And I would encourage all those military veterans to look at the commander in chief that we have. Is this who you want to represent you? Do you want some person who's young, who's been in the military for 5 years to come out and make the decisions that will affect you for a lifetime and affect your family? We can't have that. And as the colonel said, the election isn't until November 2022. We cannot allow these millennials who are woke about everything except the right thing to represent us. We don't need that. On the Hill, where we need experience, because we've taken a fall back and this isn't good. So I would encourage you to go out there and support Colonel Hall. And if this guy who thinks that he has all the answers would like to come on our show with the Colonel and debate, he's more than welcome to do it. Let's set it up. Come on After Dark with Robin Andrew, you and the Colonel. I'm sure she's ready. You can have the entire hour and you can discuss the issues. Because there's something else that's missing. These talking points that these newbies have, and they won't wander off that page, because if they do, they'll get lost in the weeds. But when you have someone who's senior, who knows it and who has been there, they can go up and down all the way around and still hit the point. And that's what we have here with the Colonel. So we welcome that. Come on, we'll let you talk with the Colonel. You guys can go at it, but we need experience. We don't need newbies out there trying to make these important decisions. And who's going to support a president who is confused? Let's just be honest, he's confused and he needs to step aside. So Colonel, we're behind you 100%. We need for this to happen. We need to get experienced, knowledge people like you on the Hill. And I would say to CNN and MSNBC and Washington Post, who tries to bury candidates like yourself, don't want you out there because they want to pretend as if they have nothing to say. No, they have a lot to say, and you guys are afraid of them saying it.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're right. I mean, this guy definitely, listen, I have to say, when you meet him, you know, and I heard he's very robotic and doesn't have, when I hear him talk, I want to reach out to him and say, just talk to the people.
Yeah, right.
It's almost like he's afraid to, he's very, very choreographed. And it's like, you know, people see that. And that's the feedback people give me. And I, you know, I don't want to help them, but if I was to help them, I would say, just talk to people.
Right, you know, and Colonel, and you shouldn't have to, you shouldn't have to help him, because if he gets it, someone is going to have to help him because he doesn't know what he's doing. We need someone who can hit the ground running from day one. Again, you had the insight when you came on the show last and we talked about Afghanistan. You spoke from the heart and you said, this is what's going to happen. And look at what happened. We need someone who can foresee what's going to happen, who has the experience to say, look, I've been there. So I know if I connect the dots, this is going to be the results that we're going to get. Not someone who has to figure it out. Not someone who's going to run to mommy and daddy. Not someone who's going to go to his textbook to see if the answers are there. We need experience because the country is in dire need of the leadership and experience that you would bring to the table, Colonel.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's exactly right. And, you know, one of the things I tell people is, you know, I have 26 of my years in the military, of my 30 years, actually running large facilities, medical facilities. I'm an operational officer, which means everything that you would do to run any kind of a business, a multi-million dollar business, that's what I did for a living. And a lot of people, you know, don't realize that. And that takes a lot. It's a big challenge to do something like that. I look back on it myself and say, I still don't believe I did that, but I did well. Obviously, I did very, very well. I started at the bottom and I became a colonel. And so obviously I did very well at that. But again, if you were to take two individuals and look at their resumes, which is what people need to start doing, they need to decide in their minds, what are the things that I need for a good congressperson? And, you know, the fact that I worked with the Department of Defense and that I gave testimony to Congress while I was in the military, I have done all of this before. You said it would be easy for me to segue. You're absolutely right. My last few assignments I've spent in Washington, D.C. I know that place like the back of my hand. And I still have a number of friends that are there that are, you know, contractors. So it would be very easy. I've been in all of those buildings before. So like I said, just the whole package, if you would. Plus, you know, the other thing that I was a little concerned about is Vote Vets, which is a group that I reached out to because I saw that they gave him $236,000. Okay. So how that works is it's a super PAC. So his name goes up on a platform with a bunch of other veterans. And what happens is people can go in and donate from there. And then the actual PAC then sends a check. I mean, to me, it's like, what's going on here? Okay. I mean, this could be the same people that have already given money that it can now giving money to a different PAC so that they're not it's like, to me, it's like laundering money. All right. I mean, that's the only thing I can say. And I did go back to them and say, you know what, this guy is, and I'm just going to say it. He's, you know, he's a white elite male. He's a captain. I'm 30 year veteran and raised a kid while I was commanding as a single mom. And you represent progressive values. I'm the one that you should be representing. I mean, these are the people that they always say that they're trying to help and support. You know, I'm a single mom trying to make it in the world, challenged to go through an all male environment and ask, you know, like I said, taking care of a young child. So I did write them an email. Of course, I never heard back from them. But, you know, this is the kind of thing. And you talk about the media, too. When our race started, the media, I mean, you talk about voter suppression. They were already calling this guy even before he went through his Democratic primary. They were saying this is, you know, and the Republicans, almost like it was a sin to say our names. So we were suppressed. And that's what happens here in Massachusetts. Also, the Republicans get suppressed from even the media. They don't even have to say anything bad about us. They just don't say anything at all. And that's depressing. And, you know, the media that he went on, why did this particular individual get on all of these places all of a sudden? Because he's got money. I'm no doubt in my mind, because he has money.
Yeah, we see way too much money in politics, and it seems like the rich just get richer when it comes to the money in politics. You guys are tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more from congressional candidate from Massachusetts 4th District, Colonel Julie Hall.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cells pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The America Out Loud family is comprised of patriots in the true sense of the word. We know that if America fails, the world will fail. It is incumbent upon us to carry the torch for liberty and the Constitution to help save America for future generations to come. AmericaOutLoud.com. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
And we're back after dark with Rob and Andrew. And our guest tonight is Colonel Julie Hall. And before we went to break, we were talking about her opponent, whose name will be nameless. We won't mention his name, because we don't feel that his name should be mentioned, since he hasn't done a whole lot much of anything. But Colonel, let me ask you this. We have a lot of young people that are running for office. And it's not that we don't feel that young people should run, but I think that there should be some experience and they should understand the issues. And as you yourself have said, during these debates, your opponent seems well scripted. And if he deviates from that script, he's lost in a forest. And it angers me when the liberal media, and not just the liberal media, but you'll have some on the right also, keeps them on the script and won't ask them anything other than that. Case in point, look at Joe Biden. He's constantly telling the media, I can't answer this because they will do this and they will say that. No one has mustered up the courage to say, who is they? You're the leader of the free country. So is your opponent going to do the same thing when it's time to debate? And if someone were to ask him a poignant question, he would say, well, I want to talk about this right now. I'm not prepared for that. I want to talk about this. Because that's how a lot of these guys are able to get around answering the question. And you have these young people that are going in thinking that we have the answers. We know it. Again, we encourage young people to get involved. But when the stakes are high like this, I would say step aside and let the more experienced individuals come in, because we need a safe landing. We don't need amateurs at the wheel, because amateurs will cause us to go down. You look at Joe Biden, you would think that he wouldn't be an amateur, having lived his entire adult life on the Hill in politics, but he's an amateur. But then when you look around him, and as Andrew said, you have amateurs like Cori Bush, AOC, and her entire brigade. They're all amateurs. They're not protecting the middle class. They're protecting their own ass. Yes, I can say that. I can say it. That's what they're doing. And they're planning on getting rich by doing it. If AOC loses her election, she knows automatically, oh, I've got a book deal and I'll probably get a commentator deal on CNN or MSNBC. Look at Adam Kissinger. He knows if he loses his election, the exact same thing. So we need people that have a vested interest in making certain that America is moving forward and not behind. And your opponent, I don't think that he is the person. I've looked at some of the articles. I've looked at the questions, the way he has answered them, and they were all on the surface. He couldn't go in depth. He was always on the surface. How can he speak about veterans? How does he know about veterans when he was only there for 5 years? And what did he do? He trained in Panama. Okay, he was in Afghanistan. But what was he doing in Afghanistan? Was he just in the palace, or was he out there in the trenches?
Yeah.
I mean, these are the questions that need to be asked of these individuals that
exactly.
are planning on.
I agree with you. Why didn't any of these news people that took him on ask him, what are your qualifications to be speaking as an expert? Well, I don't know if it makes any difference if you hand in over some dollars. I think you're an expert now, right?
And
okay?
That's dangerous.
So, yeah, a very. And that's why I called it out. I was very angry about it. Listen, he does his homework. I appreciate that, okay? But this isn't about just doing your homework. I do my homework too. But a lot of where I'm coming from is based on the experiences that I've had two and three times seeing the same thing. I've, you know, covered a lot of campaigns with 30 years. I know how this all started. I know what's going on around the world. And I have seen it to the point where I can actually make predictions about what's going to happen. And most of the time, I'm pretty good at it. You know, my son and I, we used to talk about this. He was in the Army, as I told you before. And we used to talk about it. And we'd say, what do you think the next breakout's going to be? And we were pretty good.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, something else that you said, and I hope our listeners understand, and I hope the voters would also take to heart, is that this isn't about a book report. You can do your homework, you can find all the answers, and then you can present them. But when you're unable to speak extemporaneously about an issue, when you have to be rehearsed and you can't go outside of that, and you're only saying what you think people want to hear, and then you're able to raise your profile by going on CNN and MSNBC and speaking as if though you are an expert, when we both know if someone were to ask you a direct question, you would probably fumble over it. We don't need that. We need people that are going to stand up. We need people who aren't afraid to walk into the neighborhoods and tell people, this is why I'm running. Let's sit down. Let's have a cup of coffee and talk about the basic needs that they have, as opposed to ma and pa, and this person gave me money, and this person endorsed me. Okay, so they gave you money, they endorsed you, but what do you know about the issues?
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think part of it too is people can reach out, but you have to reach out genuinely. And I think that's the difference. I'm obviously a very genuine person. People have told me before, they don't always agree with what I say, which is fine, but they know that I'm not going to back down from a question, and I'm not going to tell them something just because that's what they want to hear. They need to know who I am, who they're voting for. And I think that's one of the difficulties that we have today, is everything with social media is very controlled. You can control, you know, the image that you want to give out. But the problem is, you know that person, who that person really is. And I tell people, you should be looking for people that have integrity and people that are honest, because all of those other things can come with experience, but you've got to start with the basics, which is a core belief and being somebody of integrity, somebody of character that's willing to step up and say, this isn't right. You know, are you going to be right all the time? No, but with my experiences, all of those things put together, I'm right a pretty good amount of the time because I am able to connect those dots, especially in that kind of environment. And if things are just too critical these days, and I think you made a great point, we need this country to settle down, and it's going to take very strong people who have had experience with, I used to be a commander of troops, you know, he was a platoon leader. A platoon has maybe 43 people in it. I've had thousands of people under my command. It's a little bit different. So,
a big difference. And we need that experience that you have. Like you said, you have run operations. You know what it takes. You know how to work with different people. We don't know what this kid has done other than go to MIT, go to Harvard with his parents backing him, never having to have any hardships. And that's not to say that you have to have it, but we want someone with the experience who can identify with the working man. And we don't have that on the Hill. We have too many of these young people running in there, wanting to make a name for themselves, want to brag about how many followers they have on Instagram.
Thank you. And that's the point, you know, and I always tell people, listen, why am I running? Because I always felt I was the better candidate. I am the better candidate. And I'm the better candidate in particular to represent the majority of the people that live in this district. When you rank us by, you know, median family income, it is a very, very clear that there is a stack of us, if you would, a majority of cities and towns that share the same income. And then there's the outliers. And unfortunately, those outliers are where we're getting our congresspeople from. They'll never be able to represent us. So again, I appreciate that you're saying that, because I think that's a good thing to point out and in terms of why I'm running and why I think I'm the best candidate, because I am you, okay? I grew up in a middle-class family. I know what those challenges are. I had six other brothers and sisters. We struggled. My parents worked a couple of jobs. We talked about this the last time.
Right. So there was a lot of you out there.
Right. And you know what? I made a comment. I did my redistrict report. And I said, listen, this guy is, I went through his report and said, how many thousands of dollars came from his parents? And I said, I don't know too many parents in my area that would be able to give their kid that amount of money.
Bingo.
Okay. So that just alone goes to tell you, this is an individual that belongs somewhere else. There is a place for him, I'm sure. It's not right in the fourth district.
Right. There is a place somewhere, but not there. Maybe he could go on the news and give commentary there. But as far as having the experience, knowing what it's like you said, coming from a household of seven brothers and sisters, being a single mom, raising your child, who follow you into the military, knowing the ins and the outs, 30 years plus in the military, going up the ranks, knowing what it is like. And that's what matters when you're able to identify with the people and say, look, I know your pain. I know you're struggling. I was in the military. You can identify with the veterans. And for him, 5 years, again, I commend him, but yeah, maybe next time, but this is not the time. We need to get serious. We need people there who have the experience, who can move us forward. And just speaking of experience, Colonel, when you were on the show the last time and you walked us through the entire debacle that Joe Biden had created, I don't know how you had the foresight to say what you said and then it happened, other than the fact that you have the experience and you keep things real. Like you said, you're pragmatic. And you could have come on the show and said, oh, well, it'll be fine, you know, they'll do this. But you told it the way it was, and that's what happened.
I don't like the fact that I was right predicting that there would be hostages. That's one of those predictions where you don't gloat about it because you don't want to be right about stuff like that. But I've been around for a while, and I just saw it coming. I said to myself, these are Americans. They're still there. And
Colonel,
there was a scramble.
Right. Colonel, you saw it and you called it out because you have the experience, something that your opponent does not have. You have the experience and the fortitude. So you were able to connect the dots and say, Rob Andrew, unfortunately, this is what's going to happen. And unfortunately, it is happening.
Yeah, and it's so sad. And, you know, I think we're going to see more, we're going to hear more of the women and children. I mean, listen, I'm sitting here right now, you know, I'm in my nice house here, my nice little middle-class condo, and I'm safe. And I am lucky that as a woman that I could sit here and even have this conversation with you about having been in the military. And those women over there, they're going to get murdered. They're going to get raped. They get burned. I mean, all atrocities that you could possibly think about, and it's happening now, okay? And I think that's the saddest thing. It's happening now, you know, while we're sitting here. And I think it's just, you know, it's just horrible. Horrible. Like, you know, you can't change people's, you know, the way people live their lives. And the most difficult thing that they're going to have is every one of those groups over there are very much the same. I mean, they're tribal people and their religion dictates certain things. So that's the way it's going to be. And it's just really, really sad. Because when you get a taste of freedom, do you want to give it up?
Absolutely not. You don't want to give it up.
No, nope. That's what we're seeing today. I mean, I hope that people talking about connecting dots, what's happening over there and what they're losing and what we've gained over here and we might be losing.
True.
Okay.
That's just so true, Colonel.
We should be looking back right now and saying we never, ever want to be in that kind of a situation where somebody is telling us what to wear, that somebody is telling us, you know, what to wear.
You know, the people that helped us out in Afghanistan, the interpreters, by all means, we want them here, but we want to make certain that they're vetted. But what you said the last time, Colonel, on our show, is that what we have to realize is that the freedom that we have and we hold so dear to our hearts, that might not be the freedom for them. And when they do come here, we have to also realize that this is a different culture that they're going to be experiencing. Now, you know it because you have seen this. Someone who's inexperienced, like your candidate, doesn't know it, and he would just automatically assume, oh, bring them here, they'll be happy. No, that is not the case. We will still have to work with these individuals and make them comfortable. We will still have to work. We just can't leave them out there to languish, which is what the Democrats would do. Bring them here, dump them off, they're out of sight, out of mind. But the work is just beginning to start. And you look at the women that we sold freedom, freedom, freedom. And now we're looking the other way. It's like, oh, well, they come here, who cares? And the Democrats, look at them. Look at how they want to pivot from all this. They don't want to talk about it anymore. But what about those people?
Exactly. This is, I don't want to say this is their thing, but this is what they claim to be their
thing. This is their thing.
Right. You know, I mean, but, you know, you bring up a great point. There are ways to transcend over parties. There are things that I know as a woman that if I'm a mother and I want my neighborhoods to be safe. Now, this kid here went on and on about Minneapolis and their experiment and how it's wonderful and so forth and so on. I called him out last year and told him how dangerous that was. Look what happened. Okay. Again, I had that spot on. That was going to happen, that they were going to start defunding their police. It ended up that they got sued because they let their staffing levels go so low and things, well, we all saw what happened, all right? What was happening there. And now things are going back the way they were. But right. Again, that's what happens when you try to play in to the party and go down the party line. He did nothing but praise Biden for getting us out of this war. Never said this, however, you know, the withdrawal itself was not supposed to go this way. Didn't even touch it. Just praised him, made a couple of mentions about the women and children. I think he did only because he maybe heard that I was.
In passing, he said it in passing, right? But like right. He's, and that's another key here, is that praising Biden as opposed, no one is saying that we shouldn't have gotten out. We knew that Correct. It was time to get out.
Correct.
But where we failed is the way we left Afghanistan. That should have never happened.
Yeah.
And it happened because people lost sight.
Biden lost sight. That's right.
He was all about making certain that on 9/11, he could stand up at the podium and said, look at what I did, as opposed to saying, wait a minute, there are Americans that are there. We don't
right.
leave Americans behind. And I wonder what your opponent would say about that, because I don't think he's mentioned the Americans that are left behind. It's all about, well, I was for Biden. We got out of there.
You know what they said? And I actually have heard this repeated, which just aggravated me. I feel like saying, do you think we're that stupid? But if you notice, listen to what they're saying. Every American that wants to get out will get out. They've just set themselves up. So if you're there, it's because it's your fault.
Yeah, your fault. You okay? want to be there. Blame the Americans.
I'm like, listen very carefully to what these people are saying. I've heard three different Democrats say the same thing. Every American that wants to get out will get out. And then, you know, my answer to that is some of them got out, but it's not the way they wanted to get out. They came home to their parents with a flag on top of them. So I get a little bit upset when people say things like that, because they're setting us up. And they're setting the people up. This has been a group of people that don't want to take responsibility for anything. They want to blame everybody else. It's the blame game. And the hypocrisy of their, you know, their whole ideology, it just boggles my mind. One of the things I think that you need real people, not only is he praising Biden, he's having a fundraiser for the Democratic Party. I guess he's now the self-proclaimed leader of the Democratic Party here in Massachusetts, and he's bringing in Nancy Pelosi. I'm like, are you kidding me? Really, we're one of the states that I think is going to have a lot of people leave. I love this state, though. You know, the thing I like about Massachusetts, this is where it all began. And another thing that makes me angry, we're the ones that fought. We, Massachusetts, to keep our arms. We're the ones that fought against a, you know, big oligarchy, if you want to call it, for our rights with pitchforks. You know, some of these people had pitchforks. Some of these people had muskets against a very well-trained army, the English army and colonial army. And they won. And they won. And yet here we are now, just turning everything back. I mean, they'd be rolling in their graves.
Well, Colonel, I think when you look at it, look at the young people who are trying to go to the Hill, it's only to make a name for themselves. I don't think they're serious. They want to be there and they want to be obstructionists. They don't want to get things passed. And the things that they're proposing is something out of a dream book that is not sustainable. It isn't sustainable at all. So you look at the history of Massachusetts, like you said, and you look at the people that fought long and hard. And then you have someone who's young, inexperienced, treated by the media, the liberal media, as if though he has all the experience in the world. And the only thing he has behind him is money. It's the money. And mom and dad probably said, okay, here's your consolation prize. We think you should get there. Look at all the other young people. You should go there also, and you should see what you can do. No, we already know what he will do. He will be a complete disaster. You know, experience, yeah, on the Hill.
I think he's, you know what, I think because of his, and I'll say a little bit about this, because his heritage is in the Kennedy line. All right. And so I think what he is trying to do is he's trying to be a JFK, and he's not a JFK. I think John, you know, JFK would have been by all means today a Republican, the way he legislated and right. The things that he did. So he's completely down the wrong track. I think it's the family, you know, you had Joe Kennedy. Joe Kennedy was the congressman before him. So I'm thinking this is, you know, just, they think that this is their legacy. They think that this is their seat. And I think they're like, you know what? There's no amount of money that we're not going to pay to get this. And that's the sad part about this, is that money should not be ruling the day. The best
Absolutely
candidate
not.
Should be ruling the day. The best candidate
the
is
best
what
candidate.
You want.
Well, it goes back to a lot of these individuals feel as if though they're entitled. They're young and they're entitled. And that's the way they were brought up. It's, you haven't put your time in, but, oh, well, I put my time in. Well, what was your time? Well, I graduated from high school. I'm now in college. Okay, that's not the time we're talking about. You're in an empty suit, an empty wagon, making noise, but they feel this sense of entitlement that they should be there. And again, you look at all these young people on the Hill. Look at AOC. Look at what she did to New York City. Amazon was coming into town. They were going to bring jobs. I know that a lot of people don't like Amazon. I get it. But you're bringing in jobs. And she fought it tooth and nail. And Amazon said, okay, fine, we'll go somewhere else. And then she wanted to make a victory lap as if though, oh, look at what I did. It just shows you, you can be a little person, but you can fight. But for God's sake, woman, people don't have jobs now. They don't have jobs.
Oh my gosh.
And now you're complaining about the unemployment and that we need a Green New Deal and that Joe needs to give the people more money. Are you serious? When you talk a job from coming here, you talked it out of coming here? It's like these young people, they don't get it. They just don't get it.
And you know, with one of the things they don't get, and I'm going to say this to all of the young people that are out there right now, we're passing you down a huge bill, okay? I mean, all of this living good right now, and it seems like money's just coming out of everywhere, and they're actually printing money. But this is a bill that's going to come down to all of you. And in my mind right now, I'm not going to let that happen. You may not think that this is the way it should be. You may not think that I should stop this, but I'm going to stop it for your benefit, even though you don't get this yet. And I think that's the thing. I'm not trying to downgrade anybody, but you know, we have to look again. I have the experience. I've seen it before. And I'm not going to pass a bill down to the next generation. And it's going to be yours. And if you don't realize that now, you people that are in college right now, you think that your bill for school is bad? Wait till you see the bill we're going to give you, because we're just spending like like my mother would say, like no tomorrow, right? And that's not the way to go. Inflation's going up. The middle class people can barely buy houses anymore. The food price of food is going up. And I said this before, who were the Democrats trying to help here? Because everybody's having a hard time now. Again, I see this coming, and I see that we're going to kick this can down the road to the ones that are in college right now. So open your eyes and tell us to stop. You guys should be the ones telling us to stop spending your money like
this. Yeah, it sounds like if you want someone that's just going to go along with everything that Joe Biden does, Julie's opponent is perfect for you. Joe Biden just had probably the biggest foreign policy disaster that we've seen in America in several decades. And did he even speak up and bash Joe Biden when it came to that? I mean, he's got experience in the military. He should know better. If you will not stick your neck out there and call Joe Biden out for that, what would you call Joe Biden out for?
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I mean, he's, you know, like I said, sticking down to the party line. And again, you know, calling in Nancy Pelosi, the whole defunding the police thing. He called, you know, what's the word they use? Reimagine. It's the same thing. Okay. I know what reimagine means. It means change. It means defunding. It means, you know, where our police need to be funded more for, you know, getting people. I think that, you know, there is a different way of doing things, but they need to be retrained, and retraining takes more money. So again, these are things that I've learned because I've gone through so many transitions in a huge organization. America is a huge organization, and you need that experience. I've been all over the country. I've been to other countries. So I know that there's differences all throughout this country. Not everybody thinks the same way, but because I've been in different places, Washington, D.C., California, I've been to Texas, I've been to Oklahoma, St. Louis. I think that's important too for people to know. I've been all around this country. I've lived with these people, and I'm going to have to make decisions that are going to benefit them too. That's part of what's going to be in Congress. You have to be able to know how these other people, and I'm telling you, everything is local. We believe certain things here in Massachusetts, but when you get up there and you're in a group, it does take a little bit of understanding. And I've been to the West, I've been to the middle of the country. I know what these people are thinking. I know what their struggles are. So I really think that is another insight that I have that not many people, even people, not even my opponent, but even other people that are in Congress right now don't have that insight. So yeah.
We're coming up on the end of the hour. I think it has been very clear. Massachusetts Congressional District 4 needs to get out and vote for Julie Hall. Julie, if people like what they hear, where can they go to support you?
Great. You know what? I really do need the donations to start coming in because I am going to start kicking off really hard after I have my grandbaby at the end of the month, my first grandbaby. So that's going to be really nice.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks. So it's Hall for Congress. This is on my Facebook. It's Hall for Congress 2022. But if you go on Hall for Congress, it'll take you to my website and there is a donation button there. You can also sign up to help if you want to help. If you just want to talk to me and send me an email, it'll come to me. But that is hallforcongress.com.
Fantastic.
And it's actually F-O-R. A lot of people put four in there, but it's actually you have to spell it out.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Colonel Julie Hall, for joining us once again tonight. You can go to AmericaOutloud.com, type in Julie Hall, and you'll find all the shows we've done with her. She's been a great guest. We really appreciate her time. And thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Robin Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com, who just celebrated its 5th anniversary this year. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. We will see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.